This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Charles Meeker was on a track to become the longest-serving mayor of Raleigh. But this morning, Meeker announced that he will not seek a sixth term in October. In other retirement news, Woody Durham, known as the voice of the Tar Heels, stepped down as the play-by-play announcer for Carolina's football and basketball teams after 40 years behind the mic. Today, we'll take a look at the legacies of these two men and the important, though very different, post that they will be leaving behind. And here to help us sort it out is our retiring luminary correspondent, Dave DeWitt, also Raleigh bureau chief and education reporter. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
This morning, you attended Charles Meeker's press conference. There he announced, after five terms as mayor, he will not seek re-election. Here's the announcement.
I will not be a candidate for re-election as mayor of the city of Raleigh this fall. This being my 10th year's service as mayor, the question isn't so much whether it's time to move on. The question is, when is the right time to move on?
And the answer is now, apparently. But why?
Well, he's been in it for 10 years. He ran for mayor twice unsuccessfully and then ran and won. So he's been there for 10 years. He has seen the city change, especially downtown, really dramatically. You look at Fayetteville Street, the new convention center, over $2 billion worth of private investment downtown. That's a lot of money, even in Raleigh. So he's done a lot. He's been at it for a long time. The mayor's position in Raleigh is, you know, just one vote, like any city council person. So it's a weak mayoral system, but and it's not a full-time job. He was a full-time attorney at Parker Poe as he was doing this job. So that would put a strain on things, I would think. And after 10 years, that's a long time. He's decided that's enough.
Did this come as a surprise?
It did. I think a lot of people just assumed he would run again. You know, Mayor Meeker is a very even-keeled person. He speaks kind of quickly. He's exceptionally intelligent. He knows his strategy has always been to lead from the middle, which he has done pretty successfully. You see Republicans and Democrats who both like his policies and have disliked some of his policies. So it was a surprise. People thought he'd be at least one more term. He's the kind of person who likes to see things through. And there's a couple things that are left hanging right now, including the Leitner Public Safety Center, the Dix Hill Park transformation, if it occurs. So yeah, there are some things left to be done, but that would be the case at any time, I think.
Development certainly has to be a thing that pleases at least the business community in Raleigh. So that would be something, fair to say, most people would look favorably upon his legacy.
Right. He's been very pro-development. When he was a member of the city council, he was a pretty regular supporter of any development projects. Not any, but most development projects. And as mayor, he's been aggressive in his pursuit of development, especially, as I said, downtown, the Triangle Business Journal, hardly a bastion of anti-development rhetoric, has supported him and supports him now, that they thought he's done a pretty good job as mayor.
Did he have many enemies in office? Were there areas where he was vulnerable throughout his terms?
Certainly, I think, and I don't want to say, politically the fringes, but I think there are certainly some progressives who thought he could have done more with public transportation. There are folks, especially in different parts of Raleigh, as you know, Raleigh is sprawled all over the Wake County. And he was particularly interested in what was going on downtown. And many folks in the North Hills area, many folks in the western, Raleigh area, didn't think that they were getting his full attention all the time.
Now, will there be a scramble? You said it's kind of a weak mayor. Is it a position that a lot of people are going to be fighting for now?
You know, you've got the bully pulpit, but that's about all you have. You don't have a lot of political power. But, you know, as of this point, there are no Republicans who have announced that they're interested in the job. There are no Democrats who have announced they're interested in the job. There is one independent who has believed that she's going to be interested. Well, City Councilor Nancy McFarlane is unaffiliated. She has expressed some interest, and she may, express more now. But it is really wide open.
Well, let's turn now to longtime politician, to the well-known play-by-play announcer Woody Durham, known as the voice of the Tar Heels, called four decades worth of Carolina football and basketball games. His career includes scores of memorable moments like this one from 1982.
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! 63-62, 13-12-11, Georgetown with one timeout. Fred Brown looking. Oh, way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship! Oh,
the man is intercepted! Yeah, Michael Jordan, we never heard from him, but Woody, we've known now, and he's been here. He's stepping down after 40 years. Tell us about Woody Durham.
Well, another surprising retirement, if you will. Not many people thought that Woody Durham was considering it. Not many people knew that. And that is to his great credit. He is not somebody who talked about himself a lot on the air. And that's a rarity, unfortunately, a lot of sports announcing these days. Nobody knew that this last basketball game that Carolina played in the NCAA tournament that they lost to Kentucky was going to be their I can't remember who they lost to, actually. But
neither can they. You put it out of your mind quickly.
That's right. Yeah. But nobody thought that was going to be his last game. Nobody knew, and he didn't make a big deal about it. And I think that is to his great credit. He retired after 40 years of doing this, and it was a job that he grew into and really became synonymous with all Tar Heel sports.
You actually worked with him.
I did. For 3 years, I worked with Woody in the early part of last decade. Yeah, no, and it was you know, working with Woody Durham and Mick Mixon was the color analyst. And, you know, it is a challenging position. It's a challenging grind being on the bus, on planes, going to these games, doing a lot of late nights. You have to be into it 100%. And Woody mentioned during his press conference that, you know, he just didn't like his presentation. He kept referring to it as his presentation over the last couple of years. He felt he was slipping. Not a lot of other people did. They liked the way Woody did games, especially Tar Heel fans. You know, he was a guy who told it like it was, but with a very Carolina blue tint to his commentary. And so you have to give him credit for understanding that, but not taking it too far.
Well, I mean, I think that's the joy of having the hometown announcer, and why probably in Woody's case, most people turn down the sound of their ESPN broadcast to listen to Woody. Right.
Right. Nobody. You know, nobody listens to a Carolina broadcast that doesn't want to hear what is going well. And the thing that Woody always did well is when another player on another team was having a great game, or he always acknowledged that, and he always said, this is a great performance. And he wasn't one of those guys as well, and there are some of them in this business who really go after the officials hard during the broadcast. Woody wasn't that. Now, Woody wasn't going to go out there and criticize Dean Smith's play calling at any time, but he wasn't going to gloss over some of the other things that were happening. He was going to play it as close down the middle as you can in that position.
How unusual is it these days for somebody? I mean, how many other broadcasters have been in it for 40 years and are still there today?
Well, you can sort of – well, it's still there today. There are very few. And actually, Bob Harris at Duke is an individual who's been at it for a long time. He and Woody actually went to are both from the same small North Carolina town, Albemarle, North Carolina, were in high school together. So the fact that they both sort of go through their careers and end up 9 miles apart and mortal enemies, although they are personal friends, there aren't that many of those folks left. And in college sports, you see it a little bit more often. In baseball, you see it with Vin Scully with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who's still at it. But there aren't that many anymore who are synonymous with their teams. Most kids growing up, coming through these programs now and going on to broadcasting careers are looking at television. They want to do television. And what's interesting about Woody is he actually gave up a very promising television career to go back and do radio.
He never missed a game in 40 years?
Not by illness or by choice. The only time he ever missed a game is when there was a football game at the same time there was a basketball game or a football bowl game, you know, somewhere in Mobile, Alabama or somewhere, and then a basketball game following that. So he never missed a game unless there was that kind of scheduling conflict, which is remarkable.
In 40 years, that is remarkable, especially because, as you say, he's working on two teams, not just one, but even one team in 40 years. Remarkable. Has that era passed, the idea of identifying with the voice of a team? I mean, you talked about, look, the money's going to be in TV these days. If you want a broadcast career, you're not thinking about being the voice. You want to be the voice in the face. But is there a voice in a face? Are there people? I mean, has that role vanished, an iconic voice that you associate with a team like that?
It has, and for a lot of reasons. One reason is that it's not as sustainable a job, for lack of a better term. You know, at North Carolina, that job exists as the voice of, you know, North Carolina. That person can get paid and well enough to do that job. At most places, that job just doesn't exist, and that person has to go out and find sort of supplementary income. Woody Durham's son, Wes Durham, who does the same thing for Georgia Tech, also is the voice of the Atlantic Falcons. Well, if you're the voice of two things, you're no longer the voice, so to speak, of one thing. So there is that part of it. But also, you know, longevity. There aren't many people who do any job for 40 years anymore. let alone something like this that is pretty taxing. So, you know, it's a generational. There are people who are walking around who are 40 years old who have never heard anybody else do a Carolina game. Not many people remember that Bill Curry was doing play-by-play before Woody Durham. Nobody knows that name anymore. And so, you know, Woody Durham at Carolina ranks up there with Max Falkenstein at Kansas, Kaywood Ledford at Kentucky. Those are major programs, successful major programs, and that helps too. So, yeah, I mean, you have to have a lot of things come together to become the voice of something.
Who might replace him?
Well, there's a lot of talk about his son, Wes, who is in Atlanta. But again, you know, because of the way the profession is, who knows if it's a you know, salary cut or anything like that. And there's a lot of talk about people who've come up through, you know, Mick Mixon, who's now with the Carolina Panthers, has stated he's not interested. He's the play-by-play man, really, for an NFL franchise. And that a lot of people see that as a step backwards to come back to Carolina. And there's, you know, a young guy there, Jones Angel, who is really up and coming and really great and could become the voice of the Tar Heels for the next 40 years if Carolina is willing to take a chance on a younger guy.
Dave, don't you be thinking about it, because I know you're active in sports. You played, you know, you did a lot of sports broadcasting. Mm-hmm. We're gonna actually up your salary. We're throwing in a mug and a tote bag.
Nice.
So
t-shirt.
So stay here.
I like the
not
all cotton t-shirt.
Not a t-shirt. No, right. You're not worth that. Dave, Dave DeWitt, thank you so much for
my
being
pleasure.
With us. Dave DeWitt, Raleigh Bureau Chief and Education Reporter. You can follow Dave DeWitt on Twitter and hear his reports online at WUNC.org/news. On the state of things just ahead, we'll hear from another WUNC reporter about the challenges facing the mentally ill in North Carolina. That's going to happen on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.